Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. It's John and Jerry here in Boston this morning.
Good morning, John and Jerry.
I'd like to begin, if you don't mind, with an overview, Mr. Commissioner, of how the league has found itself suddenly at the center of the sporting universe on the issue of illegal hits and devastating hits and injuries. Was this, in your estimation, a perfect storm of events, starting with the Rutgers tragedy on Saturday and rolling right into a handful of high-impact and high-visibility hits and injuries on NFL Sunday that has really captured the league's and this nation's undivided attention in the last several days?
No, I don't think it's a perfect storm. I think it's, it's an unfortunate weekend, but it's. I think the work that the league has been doing over the last several years to bring greater awareness to these types of injuries and these types of hits have made sure that everyone is conscious of the importance of playing the game within the rules and it taking out certain techniques. And that's something that we continue to emphasize. These were violations of the rules, and they're going to be disciplined. And we're going to have to increase the discipline with possible suspensions.
Now, I know your mantra has been, we're not changing the rules, we're changing the discipline and the level of discipline here. Most people, I think, Mr. Commissioner, understand the need for enforcing those rules and protecting these players. But the term devastating hits was used by Ray Anderson, which in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, seemingly creates some leeway, some wiggle room for enforcement of what might be called overly violent, overly aggressive football. So my question is, the fine of Dante Robinson, a hard but clean football play, kind of seems to underscore the league's intent to make this a less violent, less brutal game, even if that means fines and suspensions for hits that prior to this week might have been textbook legal. Can you clarify my confusion?
Yeah, because I know, Victor, you're correct on your quote. There is no change in the rules. These rules are changed in the offseason after months of study with competition committee members that include coaches and front office executives and the players and medical personnel. And we've identified certain techniques that we want to take out of the game. And what we're looking to take out are those hits to the head of defenseless receivers. We extended the protection to those defenseless receivers in the offseason. And these were clear violations of those rules. That's why they were disciplined. And what we're saying to the players very clearly, and information was sent out yesterday, including to the media, that we are going to, when there's a violation of rules, we will increase the discipline going forward.
Will that include ejections? I mean, might we see some ejections from the games this Sunday, Roger?
I doubt it. I think it's likely you'll see is the yellow flag first, because we told our officials to err on the side of safety. So if they see what they think is a violation, then they should throw the flag. If by chance they don't see it or they miss it, then it won't matter whether there is no flag. We will continue to evaluate from a discipline standpoint once the tape gets back to the office on Monday.
Commissioner, just to clarify and fully understand and follow up on my last question, is it possible that there could be a textbook legal hit that would be so violent and so aggressive that even though textbook legal could draw a fine, a penalty, or a suspension?
No, it's not possible.
Okay.
If it's not a violation of the rule, why would we suspend or discipline?
So an example like Dante Robinson, the one confusion we had here on Monday or Tuesday was that Robinson was punished the same amount as Merriweather. Merriweather's hit seemed much, much worse. I was certain he was going to get suspended. It was nobody defended him, but you heard a lot of defense of Robinson's hit just saying, it's part of the game.
Yes, but they were each violation of the rule. You can certainly distinguish any one of the three, but they are exactly the kinds of techniques that we have worked on to eliminate from the game. Each of them are violations of rules, and in both of those cases, they were penalized and they were disciplined beyond that.
Well, Merriweather violated every rule in the book. Was Robinson the hit to the head or the defenseless receiver or both?
It's a both issue. The defenseless receiver has protections while he's catching the ball, even while he's caught the ball. And this past offseason, we extended it a little bit beyond once he gained possession to give him the chance to become essentially a runner, someone who can defend himself by by moving. As you can see by that play, he had no opportunity to defend himself. But we also understand what defenders are trying to do, which is to separate the ball. But there are techniques that could be used to separate the ball that don't involve going to the head and neck area.
Commissioner Goodell, two notable reactions to the league's action this week. James Harrison said he is considering retirement if the league doesn't let him play football the way it's meant to be played. And perhaps even more eye-opening, the Dolphins' Channing Crowder said yesterday, I think I get a concussion every week I keep playing. If I get the chance to knock somebody out, I'm going to knock them out and take what the league gives me. If I'm knocked out, I don't know where I'm at. I can't say my name. I can't play football. If I get hit in the head and black out for a second, and now I get back up and dizzy, okay, I'm ready to go. Your reaction to those two situations?
Well, each individual is going to have to make their own decision. I can't influence that. I know that we are going to enforce our rules. We're going to make sure that the game is played the way we have intended it to do. And the rules, these are not decisions we make on a week-to-week basis. These are roles that we focus on all off season, all year round. And I understand certain players do not like the protections, but I think we're doing what's in the best interest of all players.
Is the irony lost on you, Mr. Commissioner, that the people who these more highly enforced rules are designed to protect are, by most accounts, universally critical of them and trying to reject them, the rules that are to protect them?
It's not unusual. You can go back over decades. We took the head slap out. We took the crackback block. I mean, there are plenty of techniques that have taken out of the game that, everyone had the same reaction initially, which is, oh, this will change the game. Well, if it changes the game for better, or if it changes it for better for player safety, I think that's a healthy thing. And I don't think anyone would tell you that pro football or football in general, because usually our rule changes go on down through most of the different levels of football, have created a less exciting game. It certainly doesn't show up by the popularity of the game.
Was there one moment or one hit or one guy or one injury that opened your eyes and made you that forced you to change the levels of discipline, not the rules, but to take action here? Was there something that just woke you up, Roger?
Well, I don't think anyone wants to see the kind of hits we saw this weekend where there are players on the field not understanding what the level of the injury is. And it's just not something that should be part of our game. And then there are techniques that really are outside the game that have nothing to do with actually the proper tackling. So, I've been focused on this since becoming commissioner. We've always made rules focused on safety. We've always tried to make sure that players are wearing the best equipment. We always make sure the players are getting the best treatment. And we believe that our players are getting the best medical treatment. But we want to do everything we can to prevent these from happening. And I can't say there's a specific moment. It's something that I believe deep in my heart, that we've got to do the best possible job of doing is protecting the players and making sure that even if we have to protect them from themselves, we have to enforce those rules.
We're talking with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Commissioner, I assume this can be called a work in progress or a process. In your estimation, I don't know if this is even quantifiable, how long will it take to change this culture in the National Football League, this way of thinking?
Well, I said last night that we've had a change in culture, and I've said that for quite a while because I think it starts with the awareness factor. Everyone is aware of the fact that certain techniques can lead to injuries, most specifically the focus of head injuries and the fact that we have to use proper techniques to try to avoid those. They will happen anyhow, unfortunately, but we have to do everything we can to minimize them. And when they do, we have to treat them properly. So, I understand when you hear some of the player reactions, it's not unusual. I've heard it before. I've heard it from fans. But we're going to make the game safe. And we'll continue to make the game exciting.
Commissioner, even given the league's commitment to head injury and brain trauma research, as certainly demonstrated by the award you got here in Boston last night, would you think it's cynical of me if I floated the theory that perhaps part of the league's motivation here in cleaning up the kind of violent, injurious play we witnessed Sunday might be to make this a slightly kinder, gentler game in an effort to more logically convince the players and the world that an 18-game schedule is feasible down the road?
I think that's incredibly cynical, yes. We've been focused on the idea of how we improve the quality of what goes on in our season for the last several years, as you know. And that includes the fact that the quality of our preseasons. Remember, we're still in a 20-game format. What we're talking about doing is changing the two preseason games to two regular season games. We're talking about what we can do in the off-season to try to modify what's happening in the off-season so that it's safer for the players during the off-season. And we're taking less impacts in the off-season. All of that is to make sure that the game stays stronger, healthier, safer for our players.
And what does it mean that the commissioner of the NFL was up here last night with, you know, guys like Ted Johnson and Kevin Turner? I'm guessing 10, 15, 20 years ago, Roger, that wouldn't have happened, that the NFL commissioner and the NFL would have stayed as far away from this event as he could. Can you talk about the evolution of the NFL's attitude and approach to this problem, this head trauma problem that we all witnessed up close, that we all learned more about last night?
Well, I don't think the NFL's gotten enough credit in the sense of what it did prior to me becoming commissioner with dealing with concussions. Because we started a committee that was focused on concussion prevention back in the mid-90s. So the NFL as a league has been focused on this issue. I think in the last few years, we have taken steps that I think have raised that awareness and I think have made significant contributions. Not just the football, because one of the things that I think has to be emphasized and maybe wasn't emphasized enough last night is that this affects all contact sports. In fact, the highest incidence of concussions in youth sports are with girls' soccer. So, you know, this affects all sports and, in fact, goes beyond sports. As we mentioned last night, we are working hand-in-hand with the Department of Defense because it's one of the biggest issues our men and women of the military are facing is the concussions that they receive. And in fact, they have looked at our return to play guidelines and modeled them to create return to battlefield guidelines where they have similar periods of time for evaluations, medical evaluations, before they return back to the field. All of that is healthy for any of those individuals, but a brain trauma and injuries and brain disease are not exclusive to the NFL, as we all know, and we have to continue to make progress. I think we've been seen as a leader. We'll continue to be seen as a leader because we think it's the right thing to do.
Hey, do you think the average fan, will we see any difference this Sunday from last Sunday? Are you hoping the game looks a little different?
I don't think the fans will see anything. I mean, I certainly hope we don't see people laid out on the field. I think we'll, you know, it'll continue to be a hard-hitting game, but hopefully those techniques that I've cited and that we cited over the years and rules will be eliminated from the game.
When you were a kid, when you were playing in high school and college, did you used to wrap up? And do you wonder why no one wraps up anymore and everyone just kind of launches or just kind of throws themselves like?
You know, it's one of the comments I get so much from former players. That we talked about is that, you know, tackling has changed. They're not using the same fundamentals. John Madden and I talk about this quite a bit. John's got a theory that the helmet is the best protection on the player because you're wearing less and less pads. And it's one of the things that we have continued to propose to our Players Association is that we should require our players to wear all those pads. Proper fitting shoulder pads, rib pads, hip pads, thigh pads, knee pads. If you look at most players today, they're not wearing a lot of those pads.
Right.
And we think we need to go back to making sure that they're wearing a lot of those pads so that they are fully protected and that safety doesn't overtake performance.
Commissioner Goodell, I'd like to wrap up from my end with two off-topic questions. One, I suspect, comfortable for you, one uncomfortable. If Jen Sturger chooses not to cooperate in the Brett Favre investigation, is Brett Favre in the clear?
We're just going to
collect all the data we can. When we've gotten all the information, all the facts, we'll make a determination at that point in time.
And here's the more comfortable question. What does it say to you when on a Monday night, the American League Championship Series baseball playoff game featuring two of your top five markets, New York and Dallas-Fort Worth, gets outrated by, I'm being kind here, a mediocre at best Monday night football contest?
Well, I think you broke up a part of that question. Can you just repeat it quickly for me?
I'm wondering what it says to you when a Monday night American League Championship Series between the Yankees and Rangers, two of your top five markets, gets outrated by a mediocre Monday night football contest.
Well, I'm not sure if I accept the premise of a mediocre football contest, but I understand your point. I think it demonstrates the enormous popularity of our game. It continues to grow fan interest both at home and in the stadium. We have our challenges in the stadium where we understand what's going on with the fans, but the game and the interest in the game continues to grow, and that's a positive thing for everybody. And we're proud of that fact. It's something that we'll continue to pull up here.
Commissioner Goodell, congratulations on the Sports Legacy Institute Impact Awards last night, and thank you for taking the time the morning after to spend some time with Dennis and Callahan here in Boston.
Thank you, guys. Enjoyed being with you.
Commissioner Goodell with Dennis and Callahan.